This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour 4, G-Bag Nation here, 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Levi Weaver of The Athletic is going to talk Rangers baseball, talk opening day with you here coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll pick his brain about where this thing is headed. Right now, in addition to the finest, here's Chief. Going to pay off this tease?
Yeah, we're going to pay this tease off. I do want to start with the breaking news about former NFL running back LaShawn Johnson. Is that a name that sticks out to you? Arizona Cardinals? Repping the number 32.
Yeah.
Big shoulder pads.
Sure.
Charged in a massive dogfighting operation with the FBI seizing over 190 pit bulls, the largest bust of its kind in U.S. history. We have the news from friend of the program, NFL insider Jordan Schultz, Brock Purdy and the Niners. Active negotiations on a long-term deal. They want to finalize the contract before the season kicks off, that's for sure. The deal expected to land $50 to $55 million per year range, though. Not going to get the Dak dollars for old Mr. Purdy, but still going to be
too much.
I
mean, they're letting everybody go to make room for it.
They're not going full Dak on that contract, though. It doesn't sound like.
No, and that's an embarrassment for the Cowboys.
It is. Dak, by the way, probably not going to be traded to the Cleveland Browns. He's got a no-trade clause.
And I don't know. There's a couple of sources in Cleveland that beg to differ, Eric.
Couple of good sources.
Good sources.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Might get you feeling giddy.
Just in at the news desk here, Georgia wide receiver, remember Nitro Tuggle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's up with Tuggle?
We got, what do you think his MPHs were? I just got the official numbers. Just got the next gen stats.
19.8.
Point. No. His miles per hour vehicle.
I thought you said maybe
alcohol. Let's go 107.
What was he driving?
Oh, this wasn't Walchuk. His running speed. This was the driver.
Walchuk wins. Walchuk wins mile per hour guy of the day.
Nailed
107
it.
Miles per hour.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if you knew that already,
no,
but you nailed it.
I did not know that. I just threw out a random-ass number.
Congratulations, Nitro Tuggle, 107.
107?
On the
what
gun.
What kind of car was this? Do we know?
I don't remember what the car was. Don't ask questions I don't know the answer to.
Eric, I'm floored a little bit.
He was flooring it, too.
No. LaShawn Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, LaShawn.
He's a made-up name.
We drafted him in Green Bay.
Oh, no.
Did you know he was a dogfighting guy?
I think this is the same one. LaShawn.
Did he play with Arizona?
Yeah, he was with Green Bay, Cardinals, and Giants.
That's him.
He was an All-American in 1993. We drafted him in Green Bay.
Oof. He's on the All-Prison team
now. His nickname was Cowboy. He was kind of a rodeo dude. He's from Haskell, Oklahoma. I'm like, gosh, dang, that name sounds really familiar.
Man, that's hilarious. Yeah. Probably should have been Dog Man.
Yeah.
That's right.
Dog Boy.
Elsewhere in some of the news, I said a part of this news was the booth factor. What's happening in a football booth near you? Ian Eagle is the play-by-play man for CBS number 2 crew. And now he will be joined in the booth by J.J. Watt on a full-time basis.
Wow.
J.J. Watt's going to be doing some color analysis. He did it for the Netflix Christmas deal. It was like a three-man booth, I believe. But Ian Eagle, J.J. Watt.
I had to get him out of the studio.
That he wasn't flourishing
just
there.
Too many people.
Well, they have too many folk in there. And by the way,
it's a crowded room.
Our quarterback from Atlanta was pretty good at it.
Matt Ryan
was pretty good.
Much better studio guy. I think JJ could be good here in the booth with Ian.
Him and the Texans are fantastic. So hopefully he brings that into the booth with him.
I wonder who they kicked out.
Here's the other one. So a little bit ago, I saw a tweet from Matt Miller, the ESPN draft analyst, and he says, you're going to want to hear what Adam Schefter said about the top of the draft from today's NFL Live.
Mm-hmm.
And what he said was, the Browns at number 2, Wolchuk.
Yep.
Not Shedeur Sanders.
Who is it? Abdul Carter?
They're leaning towards Abdul Carter, Penn State edge rusher, to pair Charlie with Miles Davis. Garrett. Many in the universe were suggesting that Shedeur Sanders wouldn't even get to the Giants at 3. And maybe this is just smoke, but the S in Schefter has never stood for smoke.
Mm-mm.
So if he's putting his name on this, that feels pretty realistic. So Cam Ward at 1, that seems obvious. And perhaps Abdul Carter at 2. The Giants will have their opportunity at Shedeur Sanders at 3.
They're open to that idea, but they might grab their guy in the 2nd with what I've been told.
Yeah, and Adam Schefter said, like, hey, there is a universe, despite the fact that they have Russell Wilson now in New York and Jameis Winston. He says he still thinks that the Giants may go ahead and take Shedeur Sanders at 3.
Yeah.
So still certainly on the table. But the Browns at 2, according to Schefter, they're going with the edge rusher. Watch out, quarterbacks in the AFC North, man. You got Abdul Carter and Miles Garrett after you.
It makes a ton of sense. I'd still be surprised if quarterbacks don't go 1-2 in this class. I think this is kind of like, let's throw some chum out there. We want a trade-up scenario.
Mm.
But, hey, Abdul Carter, Miles Garrett, that is scary.
I think right now, for them, taking a quarterback makes all the sense in the world, but if it's a guy that you don't like, just keep accumulating good players. But it is so down and out with the Deshaun Watson situation. There's really nothing that sounds great. Just put your head down, take good players, and wait until the cap is cleansed. But it's probably 2 or 3 years away.
Giants were talking about, too, that maybe trade back and take Jackson Dart. In the middle of the round.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody would love to trade on back.
Yeah.
Which means, like, I don't think you're getting the trade back.
I'm worried about our value, but it gives me hope if you're the Cowboys and you want to go get somebody. If teams aren't going to get value for their picks, go.
You know? You could get a bargain.
Absolutely.
Move on up this year. You don't have to give up a future 1. Maybe you just give up a 2.
Yeah.
But maybe like Shedeur, could he then slide to Vegas? Could that sway them off of Genty?
Maybe. Then Ben Johnson and the Bears get their guy.
And those are the two like landmines you'd have to navigate. I'm just trying to find out ways to get Genty to slip to 12.
Man, if you did want to trade Micah, this might be the year to do it with these teams not loving their picks up there.
Sure.
You know, give us your pick. Give us next year's pick.
They'd probably want the player of the pick.
And you don't love the picks.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Here's a great player. Could solve some problems for the Cowboys. Mm. I still wouldn't do it unless you really want to blow me away.
We have the report from Jerry Dulac, who covers the Steelers. He said Russell Wilson wanted to re-sign with the Steelers right up until he agreed to the deal with the Giants, but the Steelers just had no interest in him. But I did.
And the Giants will find that out, too.
I did, and I do admire the mindset of Russell Wilson. Listen to him, the self-awareness that he has and the direction that the Giants are going. This is pretty incredible stuff from a professional athlete.
I got one thing to say, Giants country. Let's ride right off a cliff to our fiery deaths. The Giants said they were looking for a really quarterback so they can tank for Arch Manning next year. I told them I'm their man. I can't wait to go 3-14 next year. It's going to be electric. People say I'm past my prime, and my response is that I never had a prime. My prime was like 3 quarters in 2012. I give hope to dorky-ass dudes everywhere, because if a goober like me can pull a Ciara, then anything's possible. The last team that let Russ cook ended up with food poisoning and their pants for a week. I'm Mr. Unlimited. But actually, the only thing unlimited about me is interceptions and cringe moments. I can't wait to back up Tommy DeVito next year.
So, I mean, he's clearly understands what the mission and the objective is, and he's wrapping his arms around it. You have to appreciate that from the very obviously real Russell Wilson.
Now, so much more humble than I've heard.
Yeah. Very unlimited.
Yeah. Very good self-awareness, too.
Had a little humble pie when he arrived in the Big Apple. Now, speaking of food poisoning and S-ing your pants and whatnot, Subway is no longer the official fast food sponsor of the NFL.
Oh, no.
Move over, Subway. Make a place.
Mike's.
For Jersey Mike's.
Hell yeah.
I thought Dawson would be really fired up about this. This is a good move. This is a step in the right direction. If you're going to be doing sandwiches and stuff, Subway is not the one you want to do it with.
No way.
Get out of bed with one of the worst sandwich shops in America. Really around the world, and they welcome in Jersey Mike's. That's exciting.
That's a big win right there. Huge upgrade. Now I just need to see him dabble in some breakfast sandos. You know, why not?
Ooh.
That's one thing Subway does that Jersey Mike's doesn't.
That's true.
Yeah.
If you want to, if you want fake egg and crap bacon, Subway is your spot.
One of the best cheesesteaks you will get, Jersey Mike's.
Definitely.
One of the best Italian sandos you will get, Jersey Mike's. One of the best tuna sandwiches you can get, Jersey Mike's. The That's consistency right. is second
Jersey
to
Mike's
none.
Is phenomenal.
That's the thing about Jersey Mike's is they'll actually use real tuna all of a sudden on you. And when you leave Subway, you don't expect that from your sandwich
up?
Shop.
What's up, bro?
What's Just up? Having fun with well, the crappiest sandwich
shop in
the world.
We had the report of the cat food with the Subway, too.
Whoa, yeah.
I was getting ball-sacked by Subway for like 12 years, dude. Just
That's eating, when they did their refresh brand.
Eating a ridiculous amount of fake tuna sandwiches.
And you're just now firing back at him?
After an overnight shift at FedEx.
But you just kept walking in there and ordering?
No. Once I found
that?
Out.
Is that on them or you?
Once I found out, I stopped. And at every chance I get, I lash out. And this is one of those times.
I just appreciate a restaurant shop that really gives you the premium meats. You know, I don't need the bologna version of turkey here.
No, thank you. That cold cut combo, it's all bologna.
Mm. How about, is this bologna? Because, Broadus, this is your favorite guy on tape.
Okay.
On the offensive line, Josh Simmons.
Yeah, what? I, no, it's not true. None of this is true. No. I need to find this out, right? I think this is some generated stuff here.
The metrics indicate he's a damn good player.
It's not that he's a bleep hole, Brian. I don't know where he's somebody ball sacked.
Are
you about to tell me he's a bleep hole?
No, just a bleep.
Okay.
According to the quotes.
I was quickly defending my guy.
I know you were.
Tyler Dunn. Is on the beat here. Now, Josh Simmons is the offensive tackle from Ohio State dealing with a knee issue. Probably the best tackle in this class, certainly if you ask Broadus and many others.
Yeah.
But the knee injury and apparently some off-the-field stuff has him sliding. Tyler Dunn, with the report, he gets quotes from different scouts and stuff. No. He says he's removed from consideration by one team for makeup issues. Another team expressed serious reservations, quote, kind of a bleep. What do you think the bleep is there?
It's the same thing as Abdul Carter.
The bleep?
D.
Oh.
You think it's a D? What do you think the bleep is on that? He's kind of a bleep.
Oh, it's an F.
It's an F.
Quote, his issues are more football character. He has a complete BS sense of urgency, like a total finesse player. Mental is an issue. Lacks power. Struggles to anchor. Fundamentals are poor. Oh. Plays like a guy that was at a JUCO and just came here.
See, this is why I thought this was an AI-generated, you know, like you just played.
Yeah, because the tape's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So in the context of that sentence, kind of a bleep was just the 4-letter F word?
Yes.
Kind of an F?
Kind of a, I think it had the ER.
Not an F-er?
That's what it was, I think. Kind of an F-er.
Let me see here, because they bleeped out some of the letters. You just see the F. So I got to see exactly if there was an ER addition to that.
I think it's an ER.
Yeah, I think there was an ER addition. Yeah. You're right. So anyways, that's where he stands right now.
Which could be a compliment, you know. In sport, it could be, you know.
Yeah.
That mofo over there.
It could be.
Usually a bad mofo.
This was kind of like he's a pain to deal with.
Okay.
But, hey, you know what? There's a lot of players like that. And at this point, I don't really give a damn anymore. I just want the good players.
I hear you.
The Miami wide receiver Xavier Restrepo, who ran a 4.8 40, all-time slow 40 for a wide receiver, then cranked out the excuse machine tweet about the hammy since deleted.
Yeah, he
went ahead and deleted that thing.
That was BS made up Rosenhaus excuse.
He kept going through the combine. I mean, through the drills. Matter of fact, he stayed on and caught passes.
Yeah, he obviously did not have a pulled hamstring.
Yeah, he just wasn't very good.
You can't BS a BSer. All right, I saw right through your bowl bleep yesterday.
Film's good though.
Glad to see
he's
the text.
Off my board, Brian. He is off of it. I'm not drafting liars.
Text agrees about Subway, by the way. So that's good.
Good stuff. Thank you, Chief. It's time to hit the expressway.
Way better sandwich places. Firehouse.
When we return, we're going commercial free all the way to the top. I think we're going to tag team LA Live tonight.
We're tag teaming?
What? Yeah. Yeah. We're all going to participate.
No, I'm not.
And contribute to LA Live.
This isn't true.
You missed that part in the show meeting?
It's a participation trophy.
We didn't show meeting.
I did a presentation about it for like 5 minutes.
Oh, this was when I was in the bathroom.
I know Chief knows.
Yeah, I know. He had the projector screen out. He was doing the overhead thing.
It's the first time in 5 years we've all talked to each other.
LA Live
kind of a bleep
at 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. We'll hit the expressway, get you caught up on. But Levi Weaver of The Athletic is going to join us and talk Rangers baseball on opening day next in the nation. Here we go. Time to hit the expressway commercial free to the top. It is brought to you by the on-time experts. LA Live coming up here in about 17 minutes. We're all going to pitch in and cover LA's broadcast responsibilities. Lucius, he's on vacation the next 2 weeks, so send that man some love on social media. Let him know he is missed. And let's say hi to our next guest here, Levi Weaver of The Athletic, talking Rangers baseball here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, Levi. How the heck are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing wonderful. It is so good to talk baseball with you. It's so good to be back here and ready to rock. There you are on the Zoom screen. We can see you on Twitch and YouTube. Rangers pick to your pick to win the West or what here, Levi?
Yeah, I think so. You know, since I switched from the Rangers beat to the newsletter, I've really tried to not be. I don't want to be a homer, you know. So I try to hesitate to pick the Rangers, but I do think that they are probably my favorite to win the West this year. The Astros have been hemorrhaging talent for years. They find a way to replace it somehow, but I just feel like they've lost too many of their talented guys. The Mariners didn't hit it all last year. I really, really like their rotation, but they've got to hit more to be a good team. The Angels, at some point they will make the playoffs again, but who knows when that'll be. And then the A's, they're on the come up from the worst of days, but they're not there yet. So I really think that the Rangers have probably a better shot than anyone else to win the West.
What's that journey been like trying to unhomer yourself, so to speak?
You know, it was a lot of like watching other teams. You know, and when the Rangers were on, I'd be like, you know, I kind of know what's going on here. Like, I need to watch a Tigers game because I don't know who their rotation is, and I've never heard of this reliever. And so now, you know, during the season, I'll have, you know, 3 or 4 screens pulled up and watching a bunch of games at the same time. But I feel really lucky that not to just, you know, give you a sales pitch here, but the Athletic has a great crew of baseball writers, and if there's ever anything that I don't know, I've got somebody that I can ping and just be like, hey, who is this person? Please help.
Is there a team this year that you're looking at that could be a sleeper that's not getting a lot of talk about heading into the season? I think there's always one team, especially in the American League, where it seems a little open, that somebody that we don't really have an eye on could end up surprising and be better than expected.
I've got two. So I don't think anybody expects the Red Sox to be bad this year, but man, they've made so many moves this offseason. And especially when you pair that with some of the injuries that the Yankees have had, I would not at all be surprised to see the Red Sox overtake the Yankees in the East this year. As far as a team that I don't think people expect to be that good, but I kind of think they might be, I like the Reds in the NL Central. I think that that core of young guys is really starting to age into their prime. The pitching is still a little suspect, but they got a couple of, you know, they got some exciting guys there. And then Terry Francona's back, and Francona has been a winner. And I just, the idea of him managing Ellie De La Cruz, and I just think it's going to be a lot of fun. So I still think the Cubs are probably the favorite in the Central, but if anybody's going to upset them, I think it'll be the Reds.
You know, Levi, in the situation with the Dodgers, and if we're, you know, baseball fans, should we be okay with this, with what the Dodgers are doing? It seems like it's even on a bigger level than what the Yankees have ever done when it comes to spending. And, you know, when you start talking about billions and how they're doing it, why isn't the rest of the league kind of figured out about putting contracts in the future and all those things?
That last question is the key question. Yeah. Why is the rest of the league not doing it? You know, I mean, listen, Andrew Friedman was very, very good in Tampa, working with a small market team, getting very creative. And then the Dodgers hired him away, and now he's that same guy, but he is doing it with a huge budget. But you look at the valuation of teams. I mean, the Forbes list just came out of what teams are worth, and it's just continuing to explode and explode and explode. These owners either have enough money to do something similar, or they should sell the team to somebody who has enough money to do something similar. I mean, if your team is not spending, if you're the Pirates, and I get it, the Pirates are not going to be able to spend the same amount as the Dodgers, but you're a big league team. You are a major league team. You are getting revenue sharing. Spend the money and get creative with it. And I think we will start to see that. Something that I've learned about the sport is that baseball is kind of a copycat sport. Sure. You know, some team will do one thing, and if it works, then another team will follow, and then it becomes a trend. It's kind of rare to see those trendsetters in baseball. It's a big ship with a big season that takes a long time for a rudder to turn around anything. I think now that you've seen the Dodgers do this, and as they continue to succeed, we will see other teams do it. But they certainly got a head start, and I think they're going to be very, very good for a very, very long time.
Levi, if the Rangers, if it's basically the same teams, but if the Rangers play the Dodgers in the World Series, like, how much of an advantage or a favorite would LA be?
As much as I don't want to be a homer, I also don't. I know that I'm on a Dallas radio station. I don't want to upset the listeners. I think if any team beats the Dodgers this year, it will be a borderline miracle. You know, the American League is definitely weaker than the National League right now, as far as the number of good teams. I think the Rangers, if they make the playoffs, assuming that they do the usual thing and make some additions at the deadline and fill some needs, if you see Wyatt Langford come out and have his, you know, the second half last year was amazing. Add him to a healthy Corey Seager and Marcus Semien. Josh Young stays, like, everything breaks right for the Rangers in this hypothetical scenario. I think I would put them up against any team in the American League. I think they would need to find some of the Monstars from Space Jam, like whatever the baseball equivalent is, and sign them if they want to beat the Dodgers in a World Series.
Okay, Levi, I'm going to ask you this question then, because of how powerful the Dodgers are, and I hate them doing Dodger talk today, but I'm trying to figure something out here. With the Dodgers as powerful as all, are teams at the trade deadline going to maybe figure out, if they're in contention, figure out, okay, we have to have this to beat the Dodgers? Are we going to see teams maybe make moves in with Dodgers in mind as they're making the moves?
They should.
Yeah,
they should. And listen, if the Rangers trend continues, it will absolutely be a seller's market this year when they're not selling, because when they were buying, it was a seller's market. When they were selling, it was a buyer's market. Sure. Like, they've just been such a zigzag for the last decade with this. It also depends on the mindset of the team, right? So you hear Jerry DePoto talk about, like, on average, you want to win, you know, 84, 85 games, and all of the Mariners fans are like, are you freaking kidding me? No, you want to win the World Series.
Sure.
I understand where he's coming from. It's not a popular stance, but you can't – if you have a shot at being the World Series team, then yes, you need to have the Dodgers in mind, because you're either going to face them or you're going to face somebody who went on an insane hot streak run and knocked them out of the playoffs.
Talking Rangers with Levi Weaver of The Athletic, of the guys that we brought in, Peterson, Berger, Higashioka, which one of those guys do you imagine having the biggest impact this year?
Just based on clubhouse presence, and I know that, you know, people have different opinions on what that means or how important that is. Everywhere Jock Peterson has gone, people have talked about what a great teammate he is. He's like that bubbly, effervescent, big energy guy that gets the team loose and gets the team going. The Rangers have, for all the talent, like, Marcus Semien is not that guy. He's a great player. He's a great clubhouse leader. He's very serious. He keeps everybody in line, but he is not the guy that's going to wear a pearl necklace because it looks cool, right? Corey Seager is not that guy. Josh Young, maybe a little bit, but he's not quite established enough to be that guy. Adolis Garcia, he'll get flashy, but is he the... Yeah, maybe a little bit Adolis Garcia. Jonah Heim, not that guy. Nate Lowe was... I loved him. Goofy. Like, he's not quite that guy. Peterson is the one, I think, who will keep a team loose. And it's a team that does have a lot of talent. They won a World Series. The lack of that guy in a clubhouse didn't stop them from winning the World Series in 2023. But I do think that it will be helpful to have Peterson in. And also, he can mash a little bit. And so can Berger. And they needed guys that could mash fastballs. Both of those guys can.
You've got a new article out, best, weirdest, and most unique promotional giveaways. I'm curious the fun that this rabbit hole took you down, because we do see some very interesting giveaways across Major League Baseball.
Yeah. You know, I had no idea just how popular bucket hats are, apparently, because they're giving those away at almost every stadium this year. They must be cheap to make or something. I don't know. No, I haven't seen a bucket hat in the wild in a very long time.
Well, nobody has as good as hair as you.
I thought there were some very cool ones.
Nobody has hair like you.
Well, listen,
I mean, it's amazing. I want to ask you a question about your hair, because it's absolutely amazing.
Okay. Well, we can maybe get to hair questions in a bit. It was a lot of fun to research. There's a lot of hockey jerseys happening this year. That's kind of a new trend. The Rangers have one that looks very, very sharp. And then I like the Spencer Strider vinyl, like the one he did last year. He picked some local artists from Atlanta, bands that I like that like not that many people know about. So I was, you know, thumbs up to Spencer Strider. I love a good giveaway. Who doesn't?
Yeah, and we have some great ones. I mean, the World Series replica ring's got to be up there, like, as one of the coolest. Do all teams do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, because the Dodgers are doing that this year. I remember I was in Houston a few years ago, and I got a Kyle Tucker maybe, or Alex Bregman. I got a ring, and it was like heavy. Like, it obviously wasn't a real World Series ring with diamonds in it or anything, but it felt substantial. So if those are the ones that the Rangers are giving away this year, it's actually a really pretty cool deal. I will have you know, I didn't keep the Astros ring. I sold it for charity. Listen, I'm not going to be a homer, but I do have some standards, and that was one of them.
Hey, Levi, with Chris Young on the job, around Major League Baseball, respect level by the other general managers, maybe club presidents with Chris and the type of job that they think he's done and maybe what he can do in the future?
Yeah, you know, I don't talk to enough front office people from around the league to really know what the opinion is of him. I know he was a very well-respected player. I know when he worked in the league office, you know, people would talk about him as like one of the brighter minds in the game. And, you know, once a guy works for a team, you tend to hear a little bit less about him from people who work for other teams, just sort of out of respect, or maybe it's that they don't want to talk up the opposition that much. So I'm kind of basing this off of before he came to the team. But yeah, I mean, if you're already that well respected and then your team wins a World Series, I mean, he's got a good reputation.
Levi Weaver of The Athletic, enjoy your opening day, sir, and your season. It was great to catch up with you.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
Salute to you. Levi. Yes, he's at 32EFIS on Twitter, a must-follow for baseball fans everywhere. LA Live hanging in the balance. We're going to get there soon. Let's get you caught up. It's been a very eventful news day. We had a Dak trade rumor jump off this afternoon. Took a few minutes to get it sorted. Didn't make a lot of sense, but what you have is Bruce Drennan, former play-by-play guy of the Cleveland Guardians, a former talk show host. He's doing like a video on Twitter earlier today and uncorked this bad boy onto Cowboys Twitter.
Get ready for this one. I got a pretty darn good source within the Browns organization. Couple. I heard since our last show that part of the reason Myles Garrett was so willing to sign this extension for contract, money. The Browns are negotiating as we speak with the Dallas Cowboys for a trade for Dak Prescott. And Garrett got all giddy about it. Why? I don't know. We're not going anywhere with Prescott.
Okay, so you get a little bit
of a
flavor
radio guy.
For Bruce Drennan right there. Respected guy. Yeah. Not a troll, yeah. Not out here trying to get clicks or anything like that. He's been vetted by Sean Sharif even. Mm-hmm. But there's no way this is possibly believable. The only thing interesting about this story actually is how could a credible reporter like Bruce throw such nonsense out there?
I think we saw a couple of things come down from this. Was Jane Slater had her Cowboy sources say, no, this is not, you know, this is just fake news. And then Charles Robinson from Yahoo, he went to the Cleveland side of things and they're like, no, this is nothing to it. So, you know, two very well respected. And I know myself asked somebody in the front office and they said, no, that's not true at all. So, you know, everybody, it's one of those things that kind of got everybody going a little bit. And, you know, here we are.
I was actually more interested about what Dez Bryant tweeted about the Cowboys quarterback situation earlier today. He tweeted, I get the feeling Shador might be a Cowboy. Ooh. Interesting, because Dez and Deion Sanders mm-hmm. had a relationship for a long time, talked about careers and football and everything. And it could make sense that, you know, maybe Dez had talked to Deion or Shador himself. But, you know, I guess I would love it if he fell to 12 and the Cowboys took him. To get that kind of talent there.
Would we be watching on War Room Cam and Jerry basically having the same kind of conversation that he had about Johnny Manziel?
It's possible.
Could we see that? And like maybe that Brian Schottenheimer is going to have to stand up like, you know, like Jason Garrett did and try and kind of walk him through the board. And then you see Will and Steven. I wonder if we'd have a flashback of that. Like, listen, you guys didn't let me draft that guy, and you were right. But this time around, we're taking this guy. You know, would we
there's
have
not a
guys?
Zach Martin to save the day, most likely this time. There's not going to be a player
McMillan on that board.
Do you need if the McMillan's day to be saved, there, though? Yeah. Don't you need the day saved to be like, hey, we have an opportunity to take a franchise quarterback
Yeah, like,
here.
I think this is a very different conversation to me than Johnny Manziel. Okay. Like, I thought Manziel translating to the NFL, like, he was an incredible college player.
Sure.
He looked small. I didn't know that he'd be able to be a good NFL type of player. And you knew about the party aspect of
his lifestyle. No, you're absolutely right in all.
Shador's a better prospect.
Yeah.
No, but now you're right. Like, if Tet McMillan were there, then yes, that would be the guy that I would say, like, could be your Zach Martin.
Yeah.
But if he's gone, and let's say you're kind of, we don't really have a guy that we'd stand on the table for there. Genty's gone. McMillan's gone. Like,
okay. What if Genty and Sanders both are on the board?
Then it's Genty.
I mean, I wonder if, again, is Jerry going to stand there and like tell Steven and these guys that, hey, listen, this quarterback here.
I wouldn't be upset if they took Shador Sanders.
But it would make absolutely no sense with the money. Myself. It'd make no sense with this. But I don't know if you should let the money get in the way, right?
You kind of talked me off of that during Love of the Star today.
Yeah.
Because I think you're right. We very likely could be looking in a scenario where if Dak gets hurt again, you already are looking for your next guy.
Yeah.
And then you'd already have him in the building. And you've already kind of gotten a head start. And let's play him and let's see what he can do.
Yeah, I'd love the idea of taking a guy when you have the opportunity here. Prescott at 32 years old. Maybe it stretches out and Shador sits for 3 years. And that would be tough for him and his dad, I'm sure. But if Dak's playing great all those 3 years and Shador gets in for a couple of games because he's amazing, you could trade him. Or if he's just okay, you can continue to develop.
Or Dak has a rolled ankle or something like that, you know. Yeah,
those kind of things are going to happen. But I absolutely believe now is the time to be planning for the next quarterback of these Cowboys. You hope Dak can play like an MVP anyway. It's a Wednesday night here, and it's time for LA Live. Let's go into the Pimp Cup, where James Crichton has the intro.
All right, you squares. Time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. It'll make you dance to some of everything.
Everybody get high.
Just, I recently found out that the girl I'm dating, her ex is a Navy SEAL. Uh-huh. That sucks. Dude, that's the worst ex of all time. I never even thought it. You want to feel insecure as a man? That's the worst. I never even thought of that one as like that could happen to me. I spent my whole life thinking black eye, worst case on this. And by the way, I mean that with all due respect to the black community, dude. For real, I wish people feared my like that. I wish my
struck fear into entire races. Nobody fears my dude. Nobody fears my
That's right. I think we could all relate to Shane Gillis in that particular way. Oh. LA Live on it. It's usually a butt naked Wednesday, but we also don't have a Thursday show, so there's no ladies' night for tomorrow. So this is sort of a combo platter.
It is.
And that particular Shane Gillis joke will lead us into some conversation here. But big shout out to Greystone Roofing and Construction as well.
That's right. Yep. Yes. That's greystone-roofing.com, Chief. And of course, Butt Naked Wednesday, named by the great Erykah Badu.
Oh, Erykah Badu.
I, too, was raised underwater with $3.06. Okay? You may laugh, but because that's...
You didn't
because
do the math.
You didn't do the math.
You didn't do the math.
Lucius, send that man some love on social. Let him know he is missed. Opening day tomorrow. I asked the question earlier on Facebook, and I didn't really, but it goes along with the bit. What would you say as an opening day veteran to any first-timers ready to, you know, pop their opening day cherry tomorrow, guys, at 877-881-1053. You can text into the show, leave your name and city you're texting from. We'll make you famous here in the nation.
Perhaps bring an IV bag like the sports book guy in Vegas the other day.
Yes, that would be wise. This is very much a drinking sports event, more than it's a sports event where you can have a drink.
It's the marathon, not the sprint.
Yes.
It's also get there early. Everyone's going to be partying there. So you want to get there as early as possible and get situated. Maybe it's your first time there. Take in the sights, man. Go tour around the ballpark. See the new food items.
It is a terrific tailgate day, though.
It is.
You're right.
And it is.
The gates are going to open at 12:05. The batting practice at 12:10. First pitch at 3:05. I don't know what time the parking lot's open. Well, Chuck, I would guess around 10, 9.
Yeah, I mean, when I went a few years ago, I had to go pick up a credential, and it was like 9 o'clock, and that was also a 3 o'clock game, and people were already there tailgating.
But I would say this is more like a football game than anything, just because of the buildup, the partying. Like, I don't know how family-friendly opening day is going to be in your particular section. I know when I was out there at the old ballpark.
Two outs, let's stand up.
Now, maybe it's changed because it's indoor. I don't know. But it gets rowdy. It definitely gets a little bit, bar scene feel-ish.
Right.
I would describe it as. Yeah. Okay, how about we get some Bronny news here in an LA Live while we wait for some of your texts.
Bronny.
Dropped 39 in a G League game after scoring double digits for the Lakers last weekend.
Yeah.
Is he starting to turn the corner a little bit? What do you think?
He's getting better.
Future All-Star.
Getting confident.
Maybe his daddy.
Luka helping him a little bit, maybe.
Maybe Luka's helping him. Maybe his daddy calling out Stephen A. Smith in public inspired him.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I know I would. I'd feel inspired by my dad, you know, tuning up Stephen A. right there to his face. But that's interesting. You know, maybe he was a pretty good prospect, just came to the pros early. I think that would be best case scenario right now, and maybe this last couple of weeks is him starting to get confidence and figure out what it takes to get a shot off against a good defense.
Yeah, I think hanging out with pros, you know, he's probably having to practice and he's probably getting to see Luka and of course his dad, but maybe Luka's kind of taking him under wing a little bit and talked to him about, hey, think about this, think about that, and you know, maybe some things have kind of stuck with him, but he's clearly played better the last two times he's been out.
All right, I got one more LA Live angle here, and then I'm going to throw it to Chief here in our LA Live tag team for a Butt Naked Wednesday.
Lots open at 10 a.m., by the way. Our friend Rachel Ring just letting us know that.
Perfect.
Tomorrow, right, Globe Life Field.
5 hours.
Rich, by the way, the other night.
That was terrific. Thank you, Rachel. It was nice to meet your other son as well, and thanks to Pecan Lodge for having us. This Tesla thing, out of hand. The FBI issuing warnings now to Tesla drivers that incendiary devices have been found at the Austin Tesla showroom. Did you see that part of it?
No.
I saw the protests. I saw things being drawn on Teslas, the different forms of vandalism that have been happening to these vehicles.
A lot of male appendages.
Yes, I've seen the male appendages drawn on Tesla.
They get real detailed on some of those.
Oh, very
like,
much
wow,
so.
You have the time to draw in hair and veins and everything?
Yeah, they do.
It's pretty impressive.
I don't know. Apparently, a lot of them are on camera. Apparently, you know, the cameras around the Tesla are rolling constantly.
That's the funniest part to me is all these people having no understanding that what they're doing to the vehicle, they're under surveillance the entire time by the very thing that they're vandalizing. Yeah. I watched some dude in some like broken up four-wheeler just go through a parking lot finding Teslas and just running into it, backing up, and then finding a new one to just go put dings in all the Teslas in a random
millions of dollars of damages he's now liable for. Just people crashing out over this Tesla.
Yes,
thing,
and all of them are have him on film.
They all had him. My goodness. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'd park my Tesla in the garage for a couple of days until this thing blows over. I don't need a damn incendiary device like the rogue heroes coming to blow up my airplane.
No. See, that's a different turn on this.
Yeah.
That's even more next level than just some of the run-of-the-mill. Yeah. It seems like spur-of-the-moment stuff where somebody's walking by a Tesla or whatever, and they're like, oh, let me capitalize with a keying it or the booty grease thing from last week.
Yeah, the booty grease thing might have been the most creative. I think they stole that one from Mallrats, actually. Or maybe that was Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah.
I can't remember. But here's the chief of the rest of your LA Live content.
Okay, thank you very much. I want to start with the relationship that is going viral right now. And everybody's kind of like feeling bad for Alec Baldwin, but they're also like, dude, why are you doing this?
It's getting kind of beat up.
It's getting
worse. Is this real?
It's getting worse by the second. Yeah, it's real. It's absolutely real.
I mean, she's really this mean?
It comes across that way. And so Alec Baldwin is married to a Spanish lady from Boston who I believe has lied about her heritage in some ways. She's done some acting. She's trying to revitalize some of that. Mm. This is a much younger girl. He's got kids with her. They're actually doing a TLC reality series where you're going inside the home of Alec Baldwin, his young wife and his young children. And you feel like this should be like grandpa chasing around the grandkids. It's his own kids. Mm. And his life is just kind of ridiculous.
That's how I feel successful.
This particular clip on a Planet Hollywood like red carpet event over the weekend. This started the viral sensation of it all. We have two clips to play, but the first one is just them on a red carpet thing. She's being interviewed. He's standing with her and kind of chiming in, and she's had enough of it.
He's hype manning her.
Yeah,
right,
he's hype manning her. Yeah, here it is.
There it is. Gonna be great. You're a winner.
Oh my God! When I'm talking, you're not talking.
Sorry.
No, when I'm talking, you're not talking. This is why. Yes, we'll have to like just cut him out of the show.
Okay, so that is the
reason why she's standing there.
It makes Travis Hunter and his girlfriend look functional.
This is fake.
You think?
It's all a stunt and a ploy to get you to watch the show. 100%. This is not real. This is an act. This is all now we're interested to watch the show and just see how, like, oh my gosh, rude and disrespectful is she? What is this dynamic? There's no way this is real.
Okay. I
hope you're right, honestly, for Alec's sake. Because he's getting crushed.
Yeah, because you're Alec Baldwin. If you want it out, it gets worse in the next clip.
The Baldwins are meatheadish. They're not going to let a woman talk to them like this unless it's part of the script.
That's also very true.
Yeah, okay.
very true.
Maybe this next clip is all a part of the script as well. So that clip happens where he's getting publicly shamed on a red carpet with his wife. Okay, and then now I guess people like Wolchuk said, like now they're kind of interested in sniffing around on what this reality show is. Well, then here's the next viral clip of one of the recent episodes on his ridiculous reality show. And he's sitting down with her, and he volunteers a story about her ex-boyfriend. Now, this is not a Navy SEAL ex-boyfriend. This is a guy of the acting variety. But this guy is painting a picture that Shane Gillis was painting just a few minutes ago.
I've seen one of the loves of her life naked.
Not the love of her life.
He was one of the loves of her life. He was a very important boyfriend of hers. And we went to go see him on Broadway, and he was naked. In his whole, as our British friends, he had his bits out. We went to go see Take Me Out, the musical that our dear friend Scott Ellis directed, and all these baseball players were in the locker room, and they were all turned around naked with their dongs hanging out. And he's there, her boyfriend, and I recognize him. I met him before. And when he turns around with his personality dong hanging, I'm like, oh, okay. He had like a clarinet hanging from his pants. The guy literally turns around, and we were all like, whoa.
This more than I do.
And when you meet him backstage, we go out into the lobby, we meet them all. And her boyfriend comes and I'm like, hey, how you doing?
And I was like, I'm going to stay over here.
And you can't pay attention to a word he's saying. He's standing right here talking to me. I'm sitting looking at him going. Then he's looking at me going, yeah, you know, the show and this and that and this. I'm like, you have like a baseball bat that you stuff into your pants every day. How does that work for you? Well, let's move on from that subject. I felt it had to be told.
It had to be told, says Alec Baldwin, in what is becoming one of the saddest relationship stories that we've witnessed with an alpha male, Alec Baldwin. And he's allowing this to happen to him on red carpets. He's broadcasting on a reality show.
I've seen this happen before. He's actually so alpha that it doesn't bother him. He thinks it's funny that other non-alphas would feel so threatened by this. Okay. Like, yeah, I'm such an alpha. This doesn't threaten me.
And he also needs a rebranding. You had the drama that happened with him, the gun that went off on the set.
It's better than being the guy that accidentally killed somebody.
This is all a bunch of Hollywood bull.
Taking an effing loaded weapon
into a movie
scene.
I'm not buying it.
You're not buying the clarinet?
No, absolutely. That story could very well be real. He told it in a great Alec Baldwin
way. Are you and your wife going to go watch the ex-lover perform in anything, let alone a naked theater extravaganza?
It's either a classic cucking or a bit, but I don't know which one.
It's a hell of a bit.
There's no way I'm going to that. There's no way. No.
Right. No. I guess he's so alpha he's willing to.
Maybe.
But that's wild, man.
I think he might be making all this up. He might. I bet they're scripting this.
Yeah.
I lost track. Is ex boyfriend an actor on Broadway or a baseball player?
He was acting as a baseball player. It was a baseball play, I guess. And so he was playing one of the players, and they get real personal in the locker room, I guess.
Genuine article there.
I didn't realize that's what Broadway was about. I didn't know there was showing so much.
There can be nudity.
Skin. Well, we also have a story in Mississippi. Mississippi middle school student passed out edibles and hospitalized his classmates.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is an elementary kid that took some candy to school and started passing them out, or what? How old?
See, this is not as innocent as a elementary school kid thinking he's sharing snacks with his buddies. This is a middle school kid.
Oh, knew what they were.
Probably having a better understanding. Now, they're still investigating, trying to figure out how much this kid knew. Where did he come about these particular edibles? And I don't know if they were just run-of-the-mill like gummies, or if they were something that was infused and it just looked like it was some cookies or some brownies or something that mommy made, but they were hash brownies instead. Yeah. So I don't know if the kid knew or not, but his buddies certainly didn't. They consumed it, and then they got bit by the noid, and they had to go to the hospital.
Bad
just trying to figure out, especially as a middle school kid, you have no idea what is happening to you right now.
Yeah.
And you can just feel your heart racing. You can feel the blood running through your veins.
You probably feel like I'm at bare minimum having a panic attack, you know?
Yeah.
Like things are not going well. It's amazing how much more powerful that is eaten than smoked, you know? It's just not that. It's like
it's different.
A Pandora's box eating that thing.
There's no controlling it.
No.
I actually just saw Michael Robinson and I think it was Pac-Man Jones going back and forth about edibles the other day. And they were talking like, Michael Robinson, I'm never taking that again. He took one once and almost ended his life.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Well, we don't want to end on that note. Let's end on a lighter note. Florida sheriff's detective sees enough fentanyl to kill over 6 million people, according to reports.
That's a much better note.
So just want to.
Good job, guys.
What a happy ending.
Woo, take that get
fentanyl.
It.
How about this? Rangers are favored to win the World Series in the American League. That's the latest odds. They're sitting here now at, quite improved. They've leapt over the Yankees. Ooh, I like
good.
That. Yeah. Yankees got that injury to Garrett Cole there. They're in great shape to go on and at least get to the World Series. I guess I shouldn't have said won the World Series because obviously you have the Dodgers sitting in there. Okay, when we come back, though, it's time for an edition of a proper round trip around the bases. Woolchuck, where are you taking it?
All right, the Yankees have done it again. We got 2025 MLB predictions. And what's the Rangers' bold prediction? That's next in the nation.
Okay, I want to chant Frankel's with you, though, because you might be headed on your way home. You might be heading on your way to work. I don't know where you're heading, but I do know that if you get hurt in an accident due to somebody's negligence, you're going to want to have the Frankels on your side. 214 or 817, then nothing but threes. The phone will start ringing. The Frankels are going to pick up the phone, and they begin to advise you and help you through this process right there roadside after one of these accidents. It can be traumatic for you or a loved one. Injured, not your fault. Just call the Frankels. They'll make sure you don't settle for less. And that's important because, number one, the financial burden can be massive to get your life back together. You might have pain and suffering on board for decades. You should be compensated for that. And number two, the insurance adjusters, the fancy lawyers of the guilty parties, they fight overtime to try to get you to settle for less. And the Frankels protect you from that. They make sure you do not settle for less when you're injured due to somebody's negligence. And it happens all the time, up to 500 a day right here in North Texas. And that's with good weather. You know, you get bad weather, we can push four digits of accidents in the Metroplex every single day. Hurt not your fault. Just remember, my friends, you're going to love them. The Frankels, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online, frankelfirm.com.